Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hurts has all day. Now some rushers come. Going to throw it as far as his arm can take it, which is well short. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57.
Rematch from a few years ago, Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans comes your way this Sunday. We'll be talking about it all week long here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. If you missed any of our Prop-a-Palooza, day one, five bets. Five prop bets.
That's right.
For the Super Bowl, we gave you those. We'll make sure we get a graphic together for the end of the week. You can follow along. We also touched on the Luka for AD trade. Lakers getting better. Mavericks getting better. What does it mean for the Celtics? You can jump in on that. But it's time to dig in a little more on this Super Bowl matchup. Beyond just the game, Keith, which I am looking forward to.
Yeah, should be good.
It's a rematch, as I think so eloquently put it last week. It should be a highly rated game, safe to say.
I think people are going to tune in for it.
But I think even by Super Bowl standards, I think because it's a rematch, because the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, I do think even by Super Bowl standards, this will be up. In a world where ratings are largely down, even for big games like this, the postseason in the NFL, it's been down. I am looking forward to the game. I do like a rematch. I want to see whether Philly's gotten better from 2 years ago or whether the Chiefs just remain on top. I know which way I'm leaning, but I want to see it. It's an outcome that's in doubt based on the line. It's not a touchdown or 10 points or anything like that. And so to me, I am looking forward to the game. It's not the only thing I'm looking forward to.
No, there's so much more. It's become a holiday.
Yeah.
Is it not Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, Super Bowl Sunday is a good day. We don't get the next day off.
But the day itself.
And we should. I mean, we should be on talking about it, but a lot of you out there
everybody
probably want
else
the Monday
should.
Off. Yeah.
Kick your feet up.
Yeah.
You know, nurse that hangover. Listen to our show.
So we, absolutely. So we wanted to talk beyond just the game.
Yeah.
What you're looking forward to most with this matchup, the Eagles and the Chiefs, a lot of you kind of look at it as a lose-lose. You got to root for Philly fans, or
yeah,
you got to root
tough.
For the Chiefs. So we're trying to give you other things to get excited for with the game, perhaps the halftime show, the commercials, the snacks, the party, all of it.
So when the Patriots aren't in it, and now over the last several years, we've sort of gotten used to what that's like.
Yeah.
Normally they're in it, or they've like just lost the week before, but chances are they were in it. So that was a completely different animal. Now we're getting used to them not being in it. So are the commercials still must see? I feel like for years they were. Now we kind of dip back and forth. There were some good ones last year. The Dunk Kings with Damon and Affleck was pretty good.
That's probably one of the buzzier ones in recent memory, to be honest.
That was pretty good.
But that might just be locally here. I don't know how that is for the whole country.
Mega stars, though, I would say.
Yeah,
J-Lo was in it, for heaven's sake.
That's a good point. But
Tom Brady?
Doesn't it resonate more even here
when
we're talking about Duncan?
It definitely does. And then they tried selling those tracksuits and nobody could get them.
Right.
Wasn't that the big problem? Like, for me, I love the movie trailers. Usually there's a couple that they save until the Super Bowl.
Shocker. This is what Wiggy was talking
Wiggy's
about
all in on the trailers.
Yeah.
So I have to. Although I just read that the Fantastic Four trailer is coming out tomorrow. So it's like they're putting it up before the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll run it again during the Super Bowl to get the eyeballs.
This is what I feel. I still like watching the commercials.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one of these, hey, shut up, the commercials are on kind of people. But, you know, I still like watching them.
Best Super Bowl commercial of all time?
Probably Weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be like a Budweiser.
If this was up, guys.
Maybe the Frogs.
Frogs.
I like the
Frogs. Frogs were great.
Bud Bowl way back
Frogs
in the day.
Frogs had a good run. Oh, yeah, Bud Bowl.
I like the Bud Bowl.
Bud Bowl is fun. You can bring that back.
There was like a Joe Camel element to those commercials where like kids probably liked it a little too much.
It's like,
hey,
great.
These beers are running for touchdowns.
Keep
this is great.
Heavies in here.
So, I don't look forward to the commercials as much as the past. I still like them, but if I miss them, I'll watch them after the Super Bowl. You know, people have plenty of lists and you can just buzz through that, or you'll see most of them before they
air. I still have that feeling, though, where you're like, it's the only time ever watching a sporting event that when they go to commercial, my first instinct isn't like, I'm going to go get food, drink, or go to the bathroom. Like, usually I can't, because I can't sit for very long.
Yeah.
So, like, commercial, boom. But like during the Super Bowl, you're like, well, I don't want to miss like the next thing that everybody's going to be talking about or whatever. But I feel like they've been up and down over the years. So there's the commercials. There's just the excess snacks.
Yeah, I like that.
Which we're going to tier tomorrow. That's Tier Tuesday.
Oh.
We're going to do Super Bowl snacks.
Another long tease for Tier Tuesday.
Tomorrow around this time. So set your reminder.
Tier off your top Super Bowl snacks tomorrow.
Yeah, because you could just, you pick out. You save it for the Super Bowl, whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the one issue.
It's a new year, new me. Until the Super Bowl,
yeah.
Then it's old fat me again.
Maybe you're one of these psychos doing dry January, right? Well, that's over.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. Yeah. You're back to your old self again. So I just feel like this is where we talked about the start time, like if 6:30 is the best start time or not. Earlier would be a little bit better for the big snack day because you're always like, do you have a dinner? Not really. You end up not eating dinner on Super Bowl Sunday.
A lot of grazing.
A lot of heavy apps.
Yeah.
Heavy apps. Chips, dips, chicken wings.
Deep fried.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. So that's always a can't miss. The people like the halftime shows, I'm not like a huge music guy. This year, I think it'll be fine. But that's the time where, like, that's the least locked in I'll be on game days, the halftime show.
That's probably, well, I mean, I'm going to watch the halftime show no matter what. I don't dislike Kendrick Lamar, but I wouldn't say I'm overly looking forward to this halftime show or extra hyped about this halftime show. Super Bowl halftime show.
I mean, he'll do the Drake song.
Yeah.
He kind of has to. He just won a Grammy for it.
I would hope he starts. He won for album and record, right?
Did you hear on the way up they were singing the song? And they were like, so when he was walking up on stage, the crowd was like, they played in the background.
No, I did not hear
that. And it was like the A minor part. Like, and I was like, wow. Huh. Isn't he being sued right now for that?
Yeah, it's a very very musical crowd. So look, it's a halftime show. I'll watch it, but am I overly amped about this year's halftime show? I'm not. Like, I was much more excited last year for Rihanna than I am for this.
Yeah, and then you saw Rihanna and you're like,
yeah, then I'm like, well, this is going to be a terrible halftime show. She's not even moving around.
No,
but
stationary.
But going into the halftime show, I was much more excited for that one than this.
What about a party? Do you like a big gathering? Do you like a brouhaha for this?
No. And I don't believe, I mean, unless there's news that I don't know about from my wife, I don't think we're going to be having a big gathering.
Yeah, no, I like to just be.
What's a big gathering at our age?
Like four or more?
Like a few other couples?
Yeah.
Like what even is, like a big gathering is like, hey, we're having two or three other couples over.
And the kids stay home. That's your big gathering.
Wait, so there's no kids coming
to
my house?
Like, no.
Or I'm not bringing my kids to someone else's?
Three other couples, that's probably your big gathering.
Yeah.
Like the kids stay home.
It's a big gathering if you have to, like, add a chair to the, like, family room. Yeah. Right? Like, if the current seating setup isn't enough, then that's too big a gathering.
That's a big gathering.
Yeah, so I'm low on that.
I
certainly don't want to go anywhere.
Unless I haven't heard anything, I'm guessing it's just the Jones family watching the Super Bowl, I think.
You could be surprised.
Do you have...
No, I think I'm home too, yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah, the, which is what I like.
I thought you were saying the Chiefs were coming over or something like that.
Yes,
like,
wow. We'll see you there.
Hey, we're coming over.
No. Hopefully we'll be, yeah.
Normally I would look forward to that. I just feel like that hasn't been as much of a thing. So as we're trying to drum up the Super Bowl beyond just the matchup, I don't know that I'm overly hyped about any of these things.
No, I would go.
Commercials have died off.
Snacks,
the halftime show, I don't
snacks
love.
One.
Snacks are up there, yeah.
Snacks one, game two. I am a football fan at the end of the day.
Keep going.
Commercials three, halftime four, and then obviously TBD, but I think I'm just home anyway, so I don't have to worry about any kind of party.
What are you looking forward to the most in the Super Bowl, Bill? Beyond our mix in the game, what are you looking forward to the most?
Grazing.
Yeah.
Grazing.
Snacks.
Grazing. Yeah, walking around, just grabbing a little bit of this, grabbing a little bit of that, talking to this person, having some laughs.
We left drinking.
And then the game's
of it.
Just on in the background.
Just
the,
keep it all...
the game and the halftime show is just a fish tank.
Do we need to make drinking its own category? We left that out.
Oh, yeah, I guess I included that in snacks, but I would say they're kind of one and the same.
Snack on another Coors Light.
Yeah, snack on a drink.
Yeah.
Have another drink.
I'll double dip on that.
Well, then the game also becomes more interesting, especially with no Patriots in it, depending on...
The more beers you've had, yes.
Beers and bets.
Yeah.
The two Bs.
Oh, bets is a good one.
Well, bets, because like you're a little bit more locked in if you're freaking out. Like last year, I'm like, Kyle Juszczyk better get 6.5 yards receiving or whatever the hell it was. And then he did, like on one play, like the second drive. And you're like, okay, that was cashed.
I get it.
Now I can yell about everything else. Like Isaiah Pacheco better get in the end zone. He did not get in the end zone. So that really let me down. But no, the bets have added another whole element to it. I'll try not to live bet because, this is where the drinks comes into play.
Yeah.
you know, you lose on the coin toss and you're freaking out.
I'm not a big live bettor.
I do it.
You have to set the limits on your phone.
No.
I call the number. I'm like,
too much screen time.
If I'm at a game, I might pop in a live bet. But I'm there. It's too hard. It's too stressful to live bet. Not to besmirch any of the apps out there, but like it's too hard to live bet while you're watching a game when you factor in how far behind you are. Like the bet keep. By the time I want to lock it in, the bet keeps changing. I'm like, I missed a buying opportunity. True. I don't like it.
Sometimes I feel like you're way behind.
Yes.
I made the mistake the other day. This was during football, I think it was. And I just wanted to double check because I had some, you know, yards prop bet. So I go to my phone just to check the box score real quick. Mm-hmm. It was like minimum 30 seconds ahead. Like, I think I missed like a score or something. And then you look up and I'm like, is my TV delayed? Like, did I pause it at some point? So, yeah, that's annoying. That makes it difficult to live bet.
Let's add this to all of the discussion about how you'd power rank the Super Bowl, what to look forward to, because a lot of you aren't looking forward to Eagles and Chiefs as a matchup. Can you root for Philly fans? Can you root for the Chiefs? So what are you looking forward to? The halftime show, the commercials, the snacks, the drinking, the bets. 617-779-7937. We just got a flood of texts about this. I hadn't seen this. Myles Garrett has requested a trade out of Cleveland.
Oh, that's a guy you call.
And he gave an exclusive statement. Is this just to rap sheet? He put this out. I'm not sure where it emerged, but it's from
Browns,
Myles Garrett.
The Browns shouldn't call anybody else other than the Patriots and trade him for like a future third-round pick.
Okay, so here's what he said. As a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl, and that doesn't bode well for the Patriots. And that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and the incredible fan, blah, 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 blah. While I've loved calling the city my home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent.
Let's go.
The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It was always to compete for and win
a short
Super
ride
Bowl.
Anyway.
With that in mind, I've requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns.
He gone!
Well, he's definitely gone, but all of that. For
what's it going to take?
Any Patriots fans thinking you're going to get him, listen to what he just said. He wants to win.
No, he said multiple times he doesn't want to go through another rebuild. That's why he wants out.
So, like, he's not coming here.
I don't think he has a no-trade clause.
Okay, so what's it going to take?
You got to make it worth his while. This is maybe where...
Does the fourth pick get him?
Oh, yeah. I don't
think so?
Yeah, you don't have to give up the fourth pick, do you? I mean, he's really good.
Is Cleveland doing it for the fourth pick?
How often has a top five pick been traded just... Well, not for, like, other picks, I mean.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. He's very, very good.
He will be 30 during the season.
Okay, that's fair. And
he has 102 that's what I was just gonna ask. Career sacks.
Oh, I thought you were going to say $100 million left on his deal.
Oh, yeah, I could look that
up. So, what's he got left on his deal? I mean, he's still... I mean, if he's not the defensive player of the year, like, favorite...
Oh, he's one of the three best.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he's not the favorite every single year, he's right on that short list. So, it might take the fourth pick.
He signed a five-year... $125 million contract. So he is signed for 25, 26, and then there's like a void year in there. So just 2 years.
So what would you offer? If it's not, if you wouldn't give up the fourth pick, what would you offer for him? A future first?
Yeah, like a two.
38 this year? That's not good. Is that going to get him?
I don't know. Players never go for as much as I think they should. I'm always blown away by like a really good player, like Randy Moss for like a fourth round pick. You're like, what?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah, right.
Never goes for quite as much as you think. Yeah, it's true.
No, I mean, I wouldn't want to give up the fourth pick. Now, this is maybe where if you get creative, do you trade the fourth pick for a couple of things? Then you use one of those picks, and then you take what you got for it, and then that's what you trade for Myles Garrett, but I'd be all in on it. And I know they look like a rebuild, but you got to sell them on where this thing is going, how quickly teams can turn around. Pitch yourself that like you're Washington. Be like, hey, Washington look like a thing. I think Mike Vrabel would be a great recruiter for Myles Garrett. Talk about, hey, we got a Pro Bowl quarterback, even though whatever, but we got a Pro Bowl quarterback. We're going to spend money. We think like just put it over. Like we think you're the difference maker, blah, blah, blah. I think you could kind of sell it, but it also depends on what his options are. Like if the Cleveland Browns say, all right, we're going to try to get a deal done that works for us and for you. Here are the three teams that we got the best offers for. Because they can't just give them away. Like, let's say, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs call. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, third round pick. They're like, well, we're not going to give them to Kansas City.
Right.
So they might say, these are our three best offers. I mean, depending on how ugly it gets with him and with the team and everything else. And maybe they say, all right, out of these three, where would you go? I don't know. I think they got a chance. They certainly have the best chance to have the best deal. They have you know, what Cleveland would be interested in. So then the next level would be, how can you convince Myles Garrett that this is a good place to go?
Yeah, so look, to me, they should absolutely pick up the phone and be calling.
Yeah,
like they probably already had an idea. He put his statement out. They should already be, meaning Myles Garrett and his team, putting out feelers throughout the league, or Cleveland should already be putting out feelers throughout the league. So you're not doing your job if you're not calling. But if he wants to win, is this the place he would go? Are the Patriots properly positioned to even make that kind of deal? You're right. The fourth pick is probably too much, but I don't think 38 is enough.
Joe Milton in 38.
Joe Milton.
Not too much.
There's your quarterback.
Yeah, yep.
But like, where's Cleveland drafting again? Are they drafting two?
Two.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they'd wait for a future first because they're already drafting so highly this year. But I don't know that you're in a great spot, so maybe you need to trade down and get assets. Maybe Joe Milton could be an extra creative asset in there. I don't know that it's realistic you're the type of spot he's looking for,
no,
or you have what it takes to get him. But that's an interesting trade request in the NFL, and it's a piece, obviously, the Patriots could use, and you're probably right. Where would Mike Vrabel like to start? The D-line with a game wrecker like him. He's all-pro again this year. He's six-time Pro Bowl.
He's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5-time first-team All-Pro. He's Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago in 2023. So he's on the market.
And they have a pretty good D-line. Like, you might be able to convince them, too. Like, you're going to be, obviously, the guy, but, like, you don't have bums around you there.
Keon White. Christian Barmore.
Barmore. Not bad. Even Godchow. Like, you got some dudes up front. So that's what you have to sell to him. I mean, this season was awful. You know, you can't be like, hey, you had the same number of wins as we did. But I think one of his big concerns is the Deshaun Watson thing has been a disaster, and they're probably going to draft a quarterback at two. You're not drafting a quarterback at two or at four, whatever. Like, you got your quarterback. So maybe that's a little bit more of a selling point. Like, hey, we're not just, you know, trying to go out there and find the next guy that might stick. Like, we have the guy at the most important position.
So what would it take to get Myles Garrett? What would you give up if you're the Patriots? And can they sell him on the Patriots? Doesn't sound that way based on his statement, but try and convince us. 617-779-7937. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. So on the Super Bowl, Keith, I do think I still have the game at the top of the list. I think I have it even over.
It should
over.
Be a good game.
I think I have it over
snacks?
Certainly the halftime show, over the snacks and the party and everything else.
You got the wrong snacks.
I'm going game, then I'm going snacks.
Okay.
Then I'm going halftime. Commercials is at the bottom of the list. I don't need to watch it during the game.
I'm going commercials, and even though I said they've been down, I'm going to get my movie trailers, so I'm going to be thrilled with that. And I bet there'll be anywhere between 3 and 5 that we talk about the next day on the show. Like
commercials.
Hey, yeah.
Probably.
That's what I think. That's not bad.
Plus a good chunk of them get released early, which sucks.
Yeah, so that I don't like.
So the I was saying this, it just has the feel of a Super Bowl ad. Like the Shane Gillis Post Malone commercial, that has to be a Super Bowl commercial, right?
Yeah, or maybe like one like that.
This is what I'm saying. Or those two will reunite in another Super Bowl commercial. So you're right, Billy. Like, we already see some of them ahead of time. Where you're watching the Super Bowl and you go, I've already seen this. This isn't even a quote-unquote Super Bowl commercial.
What's also lame is, so you have to pay like whatever it is, like $10 million for 30 seconds,
yep.
Right? And so sometimes you'll get the 30-second movie trailer. It's more like a teaser. And then at the end of it, they'll say, full trailer online. I'm like, well, I don't want to go online right now. Like,
I'm watching
this.
It for this
yeah,
moment.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Cheapskates.
So, yeah, you guys wouldn't pay the extra $20 million, really? You can't do it? But so, no, I think there's at least there more. We're going to be talking more about those that I know I will be the halftime show. That's well, sort of. I mean, there's been a few memorable ones.
Maybe they really diss Drake. Maybe there's some carryover.
I mean,
maybe they're
gonna disc Drake.
Maybe there's a red carpet situation like there was last night at the Grammys. I mean, you never know.
It's too hot for TV.
A wardrobe yeah. malfunction. Last night wasn't a wardrobe malfunction. That was just
that's just the wardrobe.
It's quite a wardrobe.
Just going see through on that
is what that was.
Did somebody need to check on her?
Probably.
I don't think it's like
you're in a relationship with Kanye. I'd say yeah.
Like we're gonna find out like 10 years from now something really off. I'm like, who could have saw that coming?
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Maybe anytime we see them in public.
I wasn't super familiar with her work. I'm now.
Are you now?
I'm now quite familiar. Yeah, no, I've now maybe even seen too much.
So we're talking about Kanye West was on the red carpet at the Grammys with his girlfriend who was wearing just like a see-through number. And she kind of looks like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which I think is what he was going for.
Yeah.
But it's just very odd. It's very odd. But they go for this like shock value thing all the time.
So
like,
maybe
right.
maybe you get some of that. We've seen wardrobe malfunctions at the Super Bowl before, Keith.
Yeah, we have.
So maybe you get a little bit
that
of that.
That was
maybe
23 years ago?
Yeah, but this is not a safe hold.
No.
This is not a safe hold. performing at halftime.
No, not at all. I wonder like what they're going to allow to have happen. And does this help Drake's lawsuit against Kendrick Lamar?
So I would have
the big audience to hear about these allegations.
I'm looking forward to the halftime show more than the commercials. I'm looking forward to the game most of all. Not necessarily the snacks, which I would have second on the list. We didn't hear from, what do you have at the top of your power rankings back there, Nick?
Oh, food, 100%.
Food. So I've been outvoted on food all the way around. You guys aren't even looking forward to the game as much.
No, I am. Now,
but the Super Bowls are good in like the last 15 minutes. Like the fourth quarter of non-Patriots Super Bowls is really usually when I like really pay attention.
So you don't need the first half.
Half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think
parachute in around the halftime show, watch some commercials, eat a bunch of food.
I know you're already on record that this is going to be a highly rated game. Do you think that what would have been the highest rated Super Bowl matchup?
Lions Bills.
I think Chiefs.
Yeah, well, that's
fair. Three-peat still might outweigh
Bills. Maybe Lions Chiefs.
Maybe Chiefs Lions.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. The one I would want to watch the most is Lions Bills, but yeah, maybe Lions Chiefs would outrate it. Just the Chiefs factor.
I think the Chiefs three-peat factor.
And Buffalo's just, Swift. Buffalo's such a small market.
Yeah.
You know, and Kansas City, I mean, the people have a visceral reaction to the team, but it's not a massive market.
But this is close to the best one you could get, I think. Like, we just had it a couple years ago, but Philly is a great team. I think Detroit would be the better story, but the three-peat, I think, speaks for itself. So
you can jump in, 617-779-7937. What are you looking forward to most in Super Bowl 59, the game or something else? Miles Garrett has requested a trade. Billy Lanny with more details on that. Plus, you can still jump in on the Luka for AD trade, what it means for the Celtics, what it means for the NBA. We do have some news on the Patriots and their coaching staff. We'll get to that.
I would say one of the things that has really stood out to me in talking to people is the, and I think we've talked about this leading up to it, is the amount of control that Mike has over the entire operation and some of the interactions that, we had with him, that other people have had with him, that more importantly, the people in the building have had with him. Like, Mike is a strong personality, as you know, Ted.
Yep.
And he's constantly like sort of pushing and prodding, like where's the weak spots, and trying to sort of weed out, you know, whether it's, you know, people on the staff, front office people, support people, and certainly he's going to get there with the roster. Like, and I think that's one of the things that I sort of came away with is his overall control level, and also the feeling, a strong feeling, a belief, if you will, that the roster is going to look a lot different than some of the guys that were, quote unquote, core pieces, probably not going to be core pieces, maybe as soon as this trading season, this off season. So I think that's going to be fascinating.
That was Mike Giardi on WEEI Afternoons on Friday. Vrabel certainly making an imprint on the organization. We saw more of that today with Todd Downing, his former offensive coordinator in Tennessee, hired as wide receivers coach. That means Wes Welker will not be the wide receivers coach.
No, there was some hope for that.
Which some, including Mike Reese, were speculating on
over
the weekend. So we have our answer there. That's another guy who's been a coordinator who was on staff. There's a lot of experience. Downing in the news for the wrong reasons a couple of years ago. But short of that, not a ton to nitpick on the hire. That last piece that Giardi said there, a lot of guys who have been part of the leadership, the players, guys who were re-signed a year ago, some of them could be on the way out. That's not the first time we've heard that, where the Ramondre Stevenson, Jabril Peppers.
What about Jelani Tavai? You want him back
Jelani
after last
Tavai,
year?
The guys who signed last year
who
were part of the leadership on the field, some, maybe multiple guys like that could be moving off the team. That's an interesting item that Giardi threw in there.
Well, it makes sense because, let's face it, the problem wasn't just the coaching staff.
No.
The coaching staff was not going to be the answer, so they made the right move there, kind of cleaning house. And you can't get rid of all 53 guys, obviously, but you got to get rid of a bunch of the players. That's why I still go back to, and I know he said it half jokingly, but there was so much truth to it. When they're like, intro press conference to Mike Vrabel, what kind of players do you want? Good players, which sort of suggests that maybe they're not exactly loaded with good players. And as much as, you know, he has this plan in place to, you know, coach them up and get the most out of them at every single position, you can only do so much. Like, Vrabel and Doug Marrone and Josh McDaniels aren't miracle workers, so they got to get some better players. And there might be some guys that, oddly enough, did feel some entitlement on a 4-win team. I mean, you got a guy literally telling the fans to know their role and shut their mouth.
It does make sense, though, and I'm not saying they're right, but it makes sense. They were terrible the year before. The team rushed out and paid them and brought them all back, and they're probably like, oh, yeah, like we're good.
Like, no.
We got this figured out. Wins don't matter. We're being rewarded for how we played the year prior when you won 4 games under Bill. you got your money this offseason, you're back, and you win four games again, yeah, there probably is a problem, not just with the talent, but the leadership on this team as well. So would a name like Myles Garrett, who's requested a trade earlier this hour out of Cleveland, and he wants to win. He made that very clear in his statement.
Yeah.
But would that help change the complexion of the Patriots? A couple of trade comps, Keith.
All right, let's hear it. I don't think you're going to have to give up number four overall.
Okay.
But he's a great player.
That was my first wonder. Okay. I'm like, you're getting an impact player, maybe just on the outside of his prime. He's 29. So he was defensive player of the year 2 years ago. That's the first thing I thought of. But ready for this? Adam Schefter.
I'm ready.
Who had just had a tremendous comp, I thought, for Luka and AD over the weekend.
Stick to football. it was not great.
He said it was like Burrow for Lamar getting traded in season.
Not at all like that.
Which it's not, but this
it's
is
not
about,
anything like that.
This is a better comp.
Yep.
A potential trade comp. When 27-year-old Khalil Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third and a sixth for Mack, a second-rounder, and a conditional fifth. So there were more picks going back.
Yeah,
there was
two
firsts in the trade.
Yep.
A 29-year-old Myles Garrett coming off a 14-sack season now has requested a trade. Okay, so that's what Schefter wrote. Chad Graff at The Athletic, and I don't know if he's speculating or if maybe he's hearing things from within the league, he put up a poll for what the Patriots could potentially give up. It is not the number four pick. He says, if you were the Patriots, would you trade this year's second, which I believe is 38?
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade 38 and next year's one, meaning a 2026 first-rounder after Vrabel's first season, for Myles Garrett? Right now, the early returns, 57% say no.
I'd say yes.
You're on board with that.
I'm a big yes on that. So you're betting on yourself to have a big turnaround, like a Washington Commanders-like turnaround. I'm not saying conference championship, but you know 4 to 10 wins, somewhere in there. So then next year's one that you give them ends up being in the 20s. So it's still a very valuable pick. But it's not like, oh my God, you just gave up another top five pick or another top 10 pick. So if you walk away from this year's draft and going into the offseason or going into the preseason with whoever you want at number four, including a trade down if you want to add more picks. But let's say you get a player at number four and you get Myles Garrett and you don't have your number two pick, but you have a couple of number threes. And then next year you're going to have a number two or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's the cost of doing business for a player like that. One of the best defensive players in the league, I would do it.
And you get, again, whether or not he wants to be here, he wants to win. But you get a guy who could lead that side of the football, a guy who's hungry to win, an impact player, plus hopefully an impact player at four. I get it. That feels rich to me as well. Future first and 38.
But the future first better not be number four. That means everything went really, really poorly.
True.
Like that should be worst case,
Myles
middle
Garrett,
of the pack, right?
Myles Garrett was on the Browns last year, and they have the second pick.
Yeah, they also had Deshaun Watson.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have as much as you have in theory with Drake May. One other update on the coaching staff.
Yes,
you see this from Giardi actually started this over the weekend. Reese had a note on it as well. Senior offensive assistant Ben McAdoo is expected to return to the Patriots. You said this earlier, Keith. He's one of five former head coaches on staff. So he's going to be back playing Danger Zone in the meetings and whatever else he's
memes.
Doing. Memes. That's
he
what it was.
He makes memes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or he does Danger Zone too, but
top,
I think he's a meme guy.
Top Gun memes.
I don't think he's going to be doing that anymore.
Blast Danger Zone.
Who's doing the Friday Funnies?
Reese says one possibility discussed is McAdoo's offensive background being tapped to help the defense.
What?
Highlighting areas he would attack as a play caller to help fortify that unit.
That's worked. When they've taken like a defensive coordinator and make him an offensive coordinator, there's great dividends on that.
Why
is Ben McAdoo still here?
I don't know.
They must like him, I guess.
This guy not only here, period, but we need this guy on defense.
Everybody, right? Didn't they get rid of everybody? They either fired everybody or they told him to, you don't need to come in anymore, or some probably left on their own, right?
Yeah.
Joining Bill in North Carolina or whatever it might be, but that's a weird one because his role was sort of like undefined in a way.
Yeah, I don't.
And then we found out about the meme thing.
I don't think he was doing much. He was spending his time working on memes, which was a report by Mark Daniels last week. Giardi also said that the 47-year-old will work on defense.
Okay.
So I don't know why the Patriots as an organization feel like they need to go back to that well. Maybe they're already paying him and they got to figure out a role for him and they're just kind of trying to keep him out of the way. But that seems like an odd fit, along with another Vrabel guy here on staff in Todd Downing, not Wes Welker back with the wide receivers, which I think a lot of Patriots fans wanted. I don't pretend to know that Welker would be great with this receiving group by any means.
Yeah.
One other thing I liked at the Pro Bowl and I didn't watch a lot of the Pro Bowl. But one thing I liked, did you see any of Drake May, not on the field, where he threw two pick sixes?
I saw him throw a pick six.
He threw a touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase. He threw a touchdown to BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay.
He also threw two pick sixes,
well,
including one to the
four touchdowns.
The defensive MVP of the game, four touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was making plays left and right, James Winston style.
Uh-huh.
He was, kind of recruiting at the Pro Bowl. I did see it. He was mic'd up interviewing various players. We don't need to play it, Nick, but, maybe he got on Myles Garrett's radar. Like, I like that it seemed like he wasn't just there, but he was trying to interact and get his personality to come across. And it doesn't mean the Patriots are going to land one of these guys he was horsing around with at the Pro Bowl.
Because Mac Jones was doing the gritty with all these guys.
Correct.
3 years ago.
But at least you saw him there seemingly socializing with some of these other players, and it wasn't just the Patriots putting that out.
No, I agree.
You saw it from the league, which I think is somewhat promising.
It made it somewhat, I guess, worthwhile. Right, as much as that activity can be, because when we first talked about the news that he was going there, I was like, man, I don't really think it's good or bad. Like, I just think it's very like a thing he is going to do, and then that'll be your weekend plans, and then it is done, and may we never speak of it again. The question I didn't ask you: if you were in his shoes,
so
he played 12 games, and he himself won one game,
correct?
And you get called up,
credited for three wins, but one real win.
We all saw it.
Yeah.
One real win.
Yeah.
Would you have turned it down?
No.
I don't think so either.
I
don't blame him for going, but I would have considered it, honestly.
I would have considered it. C.J. Stroud said no.
Right.
So I don't blame him for going
at
all.
But you barely played. Like, you did not have a Pro Bowl season. And they're like, hey, do you want to do the Pro Bowl? And you're like, what? I mean, I guess would have, but I wonder if it at least crossed his mind. Like, should I really be
It is
going?
Orlando now and not Hawaii. Hawaii's like
Hawaii,
a must.
I'll see you there.
Hawaii's a must go.
Send me my ticket. I will be there.
You been?
Hawaii? No.
Me neither.
But if I made the Pro Bowl, even if I was the 15th replacement,
I
would go.
Yeah, so Hawaii I would go. Yeah. Orlando, maybe you think twice about.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't blame him at all for going. I just, the only way I said it last week is I would just feel a lot better if he earned his way there.
Yeah, no, it's that.
That's me. I wasn't telling him not
to go.
But
if he's chopping it up with a bunch of guys that, might eventually change teams and they have a good, rapport with Drake May, right?
Do we know? Did Myles Garrett actually follow through and go? Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe he put a little recruiting pitch out to Myles Garrett.
Maybe he did.
Maybe that was one of the guys.
Real quick, you mentioned the Adam Schefter comp to the Luka Anthony Davis trade.
Yes.
He tried to make one. You're like, no, that's not really it. So obviously,
Burrow for Lamar is what
he
came up with.
That's not what it is at all. I saw a million people trying to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
The best one I saw was because some woman was like, "Can you please explain this to me? Like, I have no idea about basketball or whatever." And she's like, it's like if Destiny's Child traded Beyonce to TLC for Chili.
Somebody sent me that one, too.
That's a good one.
It's like...
It is like that.
Chili is now in Destiny's Child.
For Beyonce.
And Beyonce's in TLC.
Chili's good, but you had Beyonce.
Look, Chili's no slouch.
No.
She ain't Beyonce.
She don't want no scrub. But yeah, and then you end up getting Beyonce out of the deal. Like, that's a crazy trade. That's a wild trade if that happens.
That is a crazy trade at the end of the day. Good for Beyonce, by the way. Another Grammy. We were all like, boy, when's she gonna win Album of the Year? She's so deprived.
It's controversial.
When it comes to
winning these things. A lot of the Caitlin Clark fans are not happy about this.
No, I imagine
the internet was not thrilled.
Yeah,
that did not.
It was a country award.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no,
that's a lot of honkies.
That's why.
Yeah,
people were up in arms.
I don't think there was a lot of approval there. That's true. 617-779-7937. Speaking of a lack of approval. I know the Bruins do not approve of one Rich Keefe.
No, they don't.
Big win for the Bees over the weekend. I think David Pastrnak told us a little something about why the Bruins have been struggling. We'll get to it with your phone calls next.
Bruins have made a habit of that. Net front, they score! Pastrnak puts the Bruins back in front. Pastrnak with the check, freed it up. A try!
In your face, Keith.
That's my guy. As you know, I famously reported he would never score another goal again. So let me just, I shouldn't have to do this, but not everybody's intelligent.
Uh-huh.
So when I had my scoop about the Bruins, it was, Pastrnak, kind of the reason why they didn't have a great locker room, and Marchand maybe called him out, and Pastrnak didn't want to be on a line with him. So now every time Pastrnak scores and people tweet me.
Yeah.
First of all, great. I'm glad you're thinking about me, thinking about the show.
Not everybody at you, right?
No, they don't. But indirectly, they come. They mention me.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
The producer of Spittin' Chiclets just
he's upset.
hashtag with your name, but no at Keefe21. So he said hashtag thank you, Rich Keefe.
All right, hashtag you're welcome. I would say I never once said he sucks at hockey and he'll never score another goal. But if that's how people took it, then so be it.
I might need to go back to the original scoop.
Did I say he sucks at hockey?
Yeah, we double check.
I'd have to double check. That might have been me.
No, this is the equivalent. And I even mentioned this at the time. I wasn't trying to compare him to this degree, but it's the same thing. So when Kyrie Irving was on the Celtics and he had a good game, if there were reports that he was bad in the locker room and he like hit a game winner, you'd be like, oh, guess not.
Totally.
Or these guys, unbelievable players still. Like James Harden, go back and look at some of his days in Houston when he's demanding trades, getting coaches fired, but he averaged a triple-double, so he obviously wasn't a problem. Like, Pastrnak's a great, great player. Now, it also hasn't netted a lot of wins. People were very quiet after the Buffalo loss, and now they're coming out of the woodwork because they beat the Rangers, and they're still out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Rangers, by the way, have made a couple of trades, and they're playing better.
Yeah.
They're still out of the playoffs and they're one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, right.
Not talent-wise, but that's what they've been.
Yep.
I think a lot of people paid attention to Pastrnak on the ice, and then this is what the beat writers usually do. They watch the team, cheer the team on, and then they don't really listen to the post-game audio.
Uh-huh.
So I listened to it. I thought this was a noteworthy comment from David Pastrnak that maybe tells you, Keith, how onto something you were earlier this year. This is Pastrnak after the hat trick and the win over the Rangers.
Yeah, I definitely set my standards high, you know, yes, set my standards high and you know, never satisfied on the other end. And, you know, try to get better. You know, I've been saying this for years, so every single game. And the sky's the limit when I'm on my game and I'm focused. So
the sky's the limit when I'm on my game, .. and I'm focused.
Okay. So were you focused all year?
So have you not been focused? Like, how else am I supposed to take that comment? I get criticized or judged for reading too much into things.
Well, no, that's the job.
When you sit there and you say, when I'm focused and I'm on my game, the sky's the limit.
Like, okay.
Well, you're playing like crap earlier this year. So were you not focused? And
guess not.
Is that an acknowledgement that things weren't in a good place earlier this year?
No, because I saw a bunch of pictures of him and Marchand together, and they put that on Instagram. So I know that everything was fine and nothing was ever the contrary. So, yeah, there's been a noticeable kind of spark in his game. You know, he was kind of, I mean, he was still having overall a decent season, but compared to what we expect from him and, you know, what we've seen, 50-plus goals in a year, it was way off of that pace. In fact, everybody on the team was off of their pace from a year ago or even sort of like their average pace. And now he's obviously kicked it up a notch in the last month, I guess, or whatever it is. It's probably been exactly a month, right? He was star of the week, star of the month, all this stuff. He's been outstanding. But yeah, there was clearly something different about this month than the previous three.
Well, and you would love a follow-up there, but of course there wasn't one.
No,
but it's like oh, okay, when I'm focused, the sky's the limit, according to David Pastrnak.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder if that's an acknowledgement he wasn't focused earlier on this year.
Yep.
So draw your own conclusions there. Bruins win again this weekend. I will see if they can turn things around. With the trade deadline looming in the NHL, we'll get back to the NBA's trade deadline. Big, big moves over the weekend. What does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the league? Plus, Derek is in New Bedford on a potential trade in the NFL. Myles Garrett has requested a trade out of Cleveland. Go ahead, Derek.
How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
I'm an angry and good. I'm an angry and depressed Bills fan, right? But you guys are humoring me. Myles Garrett is not coming to New England. Joe Milton, you think I'm going to trade Joe Milton?
Well, that was a joke. That was a joke.
It was a second and Joe Milton is what it was. Yes,
okay,
yes, yes.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
So you don't have Tom Brady, Richard Seymour. You don't have all those great Hall of Famers on your squad anymore that actually free agents want to come to New England to play. That's not going to happen.
Derek, he's not a free agent.
Derek, it's a trade.
He's not a free agent.
18-year draft. Can
Derek.
I finish?
No. Well, I don't know. You got to get your facts
straight. Yeah, you're saying he's a free agent. You're wrong. So we're just correcting your incorrect facts.
Okay. Yeah. He's not a free agent.
Well,
we're talking about trading, like you said.
Yeah.
Right. So you're still not trading for him. So you guys just got to get used to he wants to go to a winner. If he wants to go somewhere, he's going to go to Buffalo.
One of the all-time winners, Buffalo. Nobody's more synonymous with winning than Buffalo. That's a good point.
You guys need to.
I want to go somewhere where they win every single year. Oh, you want to go to Buffalo then, sir?
Okay, here's
you guys
get in line for Buffalo.
Can I finish?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's been kind of mixed at this point.
Look, he might want to go play for...
The only place that loses more than Cleveland is Buffalo.
Okay, but if I could pick Buffalo or the Patriots, I also would pick Buffalo
no
these
kidding.
Days.
They're obviously better.
It's an interesting guy to present that point.
Yeah.
I said this initially, Keith. I'm like, well, he wants to win. True. It's a trade. And so you can force
you
their
talk
hand.
Him into it.
But now you got to overpay. So we were talking about the Khalil Mack comp that Schefter brought up. Or we're talking about 38 this year and a future first, which is what Chad Graff brought up. Or you could talk about the number four pick. If you're offering the number four pick to Cleveland, Myles Garrett isn't going to have much of a say. He can hold out once
he gets
here.
Well, then you got to deal with all that. Right.
But, I mean, and he can threaten to do that if he actually wants to do that. He's not going to get his money if he holds out. So, I mean, you can force their hand. He's not a free agent, Derek. So, if you want to overpay and get stupid in some ways, if you think the number four pick is stupid, you can force his hand in the NFL, unlike some of these other leagues.
Yeah, and if... You know, Cleveland has a deal from Buffalo, and it's, you know, their second-round pick versus the second-round pick from the Patriots. Which one are they going to take? You know, yeah, you got to convince him. But that's where it comes in, where you sell him on being the guy and Mike Vrabel being a new sheriff in town and Drake maybe in the future and all that. Obviously, Buffalo's a better team right now, but teams go from bad to great every year in the NFL.
This is a good text, 617-779-7937. This Derek sucks. I'm glad all the Dereks were bounced from the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's a bad Derek. Got a bad Derek in there.
Bad Derek. Good point. We'll get back to your feedback. We'll get back to Luka for AD. Again, what does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the league? Who won the trade? We'll get back to all that next.